Speaking on this program is Stanley McInerney.
From sin, if we fail to accept the responsibility to stand against the errors and the wickedness of this world. We have a responsibility. We who claim to be children of God have a responsibility to preach the truth in every way. Let us not do as Saul did and shirk that responsibility. For when we do, we're going to have to say when we stand before the judgment seat of God, I have played the fool. Another thing that caused this young man the downfall, he took the glory that belonged to another. Here is another place where this young man fouled up along the way. In the third year of his reign, he chose 3,000 men with which to go to war against the Philistines. He took 2,000 of these for himself. And then he gave his son 1,000. It's really Jonathan and 1,000 men that smoked the garrison of the Philistines through the help of Almighty God. But Saul, when he saw that the Philistines were beaten, blew his trumpet, and all Israel heard him, and he said that he, lo, this day I have smitten the Philistines. God had placed upon Saul the responsibility of leading the army of Israel into battle. But he was not going to do it by himself. And so he chose his son and gave him half the men, so that if they slew his son, he would still be on top. But when Jonathan defeated the Philistines, Saul immediately blew the king's royal trumpet and took the glory of that which belonged to another. We cannot, and I've heard so many people say, oh yes, we're doing wonderfully at such and such a place. We're doing this and we're doing that, and everybody, we're doing it. When in reality, they haven't had a thing to do with it. Take not that which belongs to another. Because when you do, you are saying with the young man Saul, I have played the fool. Now, he tried, like so many of us. I didn't say you, I said so many of us today. Saul tried to cover up his faults. I don't know whether you have any faults or not. But my beloved wife said, I've got some, and I guess she knows any better than anybody else. Maybe I haven't covered them up well enough. But you know, there's not a person here tonight. I don't say you haven't. Not a person here tonight that doesn't have a fault, even in our being children of God. We've got it. Saul disobeyed the Lord, just like we do. And as I said a moment ago, he came back from the siege of the Amalekites. And on the way back, Samuel, the prophet of God, met him. And Samuel said, what is this thou hast done? And Saul then said, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. Now watch it. But the people took the spoils of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. Who took them? Who gave the order? Not to destroy the cattle, not to destroy the sheep, and not to destroy old King Agag. He did. But then he wanted to shift the responsibility. He wanted to cover up his faults. Man's been doing that ever since the dawn of creation. Adam tried to cover it up by the woman that God gave him. Eve tried to cover it up by saying that the serpent. And ever since that day, we have been trying our best to cover up our faults. We can't do it. Saul blamed the people. And what did the Lord say? Because thou hast rejected me and my commandments, I have rejected thee from becoming king over Israel. Listen. When we have a fault, the fault especially that will separate us from God and eternity, there's only one thing that you and I can do and say, I have sinned, I have this fault, I need to get rid of it, and the only way to get rid of it is to confess it. If you're in the wrong, do it tonight. Saul was not willing to do it. There are so many, brethren, and it makes one's heart bleed. When you talk to somebody and you know that they've been out of commission, out of the church for years, and you talk to them and they stubbornly refuse to come back in, you know they'll do everything they can to cover up that fault. I've often said that I would like to have kept a diary of all the excuses that man has offered in his walk on this earth from failing to do the will of God. It would have made a book, I guess, that had taken the printers a year to print. We have offered excuses. As I said this morning, so there'd be half of them here tonight. I had a notion to say this morning that if all the Christians in Warren County had met in one place, if we'd have taken the civic auditorium, it would have been full to capacity. I said, tonight you can get them all in this building and still have some pews left. And you'd be surprised at the excuses. The excuses that men and women in the church today offer for not attending either evening service or Bible study Wednesday night or Sunday morning. We're trying to cover up our faults. But let me tell you something. When we stand before the judgment bar of God, everything is going to be thrown wide open. It'll be a shock. It'll be a shock to many of us on that day. When we know that we have a fault and cover it up, and God reveals these things that we have tried to hide from ourselves and our brethren while we walked on this earth, and God just reveals them to us. And you know what we'll say? I have played the fool. But it'll be too late. Corrected. Another thing that destroyed this young man, made him say that he had played the fool, and that is envy. Hatred and jealousy. This is the one thing that caused the young man Saul of Kish to say, I have played the fool. He became full of envy and jealousy and hatred. You know, when young David, the sweet singer of Israel, went into battle with Goliath, with the Philistines, and put that army of the Philistines to rout. Saul's question was, whose son is this youth? It displeased Saul so much when David went out to fight Goliath. But listen, as he gets filled with envy, with hatred and with jealousy, when David came back and Saul came back from that war. Now, ladies, take notice. The women had composed a song, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And Saul, the son of Kish, could not stand it. He just couldn't stand it. And Saul reasoned, if he's got the people on his side, what more could he want than my kingdom? Wasn't his in the first place. And from that day forward, it says that Saul eyed David from that day on. He was afraid of David. Let us not be afraid of what the Lord has commissioned us to do. Let us do our work. Do that to the best of our ability. And we'll not have to say, as did Saul, who was filled with envy, hatred, and jealousy, I have played the fool. No. The lesson, I think, that we can learn from this young man, Saul, is that he had everything on his side to start with. But he forgot. He forgot that God had given him a commission to do. He forgot that God had ordained that he should be a leader with love, with truth, and with integrity. And so, God abundantly blessed him at first, surrounded him with, shall we say, golden opportunities. Now, I think of this today, that God has surrounded the church, and especially here in Warren County, with so many golden opportunities. What are we doing with them? He had every opportunity, Saul did, to make good, but he threw those golden opportunities away. How many opportunities have we thrown away when we've been able to take the responsibility that God has given us to go and make disciples of every nation? How many opportunities have we had to talk to somebody about their soul salvation and failed to do it? Just the other day, I was asked to go out and see a young couple. Well, I don't expect they'll ever be at Oak Grove. They may come here. I hope they do. They may attend someplace else. It doesn't make any difference to me where they go. That's of little consequence. But the opportunity was there to teach that young couple the truth. And I knew it was my responsibility, and I didn't want to play the fool. Now, how many times have you played the fool? Sobering thought, isn't it? It's a sobering thought when you think about it. You've had the opportunity to talk to somebody about their soul salvation, and you let it go. I'm too busy. I've got something else to do. What is more important than that person's soul salvation? And if you ever do let it, and if you have done it, then you, my beloved brethren, have played the fool. And so do I when I fail to do it. Therefore, we need to take a lesson from this young man and say tonight, I don't want that charge laid to me. Will you run away tonight? If you're here and you have never obeyed the gospel, you've heard it time and time without number. You say, well, tomorrow, next week. No, that's playing the fool. The most prized possession that you have tonight is that that dwells within you that is called the soul. Quit, please. I beg of you, I beseech you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to quit playing the fool with your soul. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will it profit you if you gave the whole world and lose your own soul? Think of it. And think seriously tonight, beloved. I'm pleading with you. If I could do it for you, if you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel, if I could do it, I'd gladly do it for you, but I can't. That's an individual responsibility. God has placed that responsibility upon you. Don't play the fool with it. You can come tonight with faith in your heart, repentance of the things you believed and done contrary to His will. You can stand before the angels of heaven in this assembly tonight and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Take you and bury you beneath the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins, that you might rise to walk again in newness of life. If in times past you have rendered obedience to the gospel and you become derelict in your duty, you played the fool with the promise that you made to Almighty God that you would go with Him through life, you've gone back on Him. Quit playing the fool. May I plead with you. As Paul said, I beseech you to make your heart right with God.